Let me see. Okay, half of these people aren't woke yet, so I'll try it on this side. Did you notice, like, I was halfway through before they're like, whoa. Let me try it again. Now this time, you don't have to scream, but I just want the wave. So just the wave. I want to see if you know how it happens. All right, good. All right, so the only way this works is if you follow instructions, because we're going to hear a storm. Like, you're going to almost want to bring out your umbrellas because it's going to be storming in here. So there's four parts to it. So one, what do you do when your hands are cold? Okay, good. Okay, good. Song has a good beat. Okay. Can you pat on your lap real quick? Okay. Can you stomp your feet? All right, good. So here's the deal. I want you to keep doing what I show you to do, but we're gonna do it like the wave, and you will hear the storm pass by. But it's gotta be quiet. And I know everything in you is gonna wanna giggle when you hear the rain in here, but try your best to be quiet and follow directions. So the first step is this. Kind of starting to rain a little bit. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Follow instructions. Okay, we're gonna make it. Storm is passing over. Woo, thank y'all for my storm. I paid for it. So always remember that storms pass, they don't stay. And everything, as we recognize, and I'm thankful for this theme, if, because if is such a conditional word. I'm not much of a grammar teacher, but that word invokes condition. Everything changes, as the text says, everything changes because of that one word. Things would go well if they continued to stay the same, or things in life would change if something pivotal happens. So if makes a very big difference. Like, you know, Kansas City could win the Super Bowl this year if. All right. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron James would be the GOAT if Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant hadn't been born. You know, like, if makes a big difference, right? So because of that, when we see the word if in Scripture, we have to pay attention. And oftentimes, the ifs that we find in Scripture are so pivotal on what that means for us. So I want you to look with me in Romans chapter number 6, because Paul lays down a very significant if in Romans chapter 6. You can hold your finger somewhere around verse number 4, but as you're getting there, let me give you kind of a quick overview of what Paul was doing in the book of Romans up to this point. So Paul is whenever you read his writings, he wrote like half of the New Testament. Whenever you read his writings, Paul is very organized. He usually makes a case initially, and then he explains what that means in teaching. And then he shows you how to live that out in the latter part of the book. So he'll make a case, and then he'll explain that through teaching, and then he'll show you how to apply that to your life for the rest of the book. So as he's setting forth his case in the book of Romans, the first couple of chapters, Paul lays out, here's what the problem was. The problem was all about sin. And sin is what we were born into. Sin is what feels natural to us. Do you recognize that in the flesh, you don't decide to become hungry? You just are hungry. And your body moves because, hey, I gotta have something to eat. And then everything changes because you can't function. I can't think straight because my body is calling it. The flesh is just running things. And so Paul says, because we allow the flesh to run things and do what it wants and do how and when and whatever it wanted to do, sin was pervasive. Well, when we sin, there's a certain part of us that feels a little guilty about it, but then there's another part that, hey, I want to keep doing what I was doing. And because of that, life and the world just turned upside down. Even in life, we see that word if, right? Everything kept turning. Chapter 3, chapter 4, Paul begins to explain what God was doing to try to rectify this through Jesus Christ. How God sends Jesus to get us away from this addiction that we have to sin, to get us away from the bondage that we had to sin. In chapter 5, he tells us that we were justified. Justified is a legal term at this time. It was a legal term that means that once you've been justified, it makes it just if I'd never done it. Justified. And so because Christ dies on the cross, he takes away the guilt. He takes away my addiction to sin. And now I've been justified and I can have a right relationship with God. Sin no longer separates us. Now I can be with God. But I still live in the flesh. And that means that I still may have some tendency to want to do. And so to really handle this, Paul uses some terminology. I'm going to start at verse 1, but Paul uses this because at the end of chapter 5, he says, thank God for grace, right? Because of grace, I've been justified. It's all gone. But then he says, wait a minute, verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning or go on sinning that we have more grace? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul uses this language to show us how serious it is that we get away from sin. He says, you died to it. But then he says, how can we live in it any longer? Died, but keep on living, right? Died, keep on living. The last time I heard that kind of phraseology was like Night of the Living Dead. That's a horror movie, right? Or thriller, you know, that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to die and keep living in that messed up stuff. And when you die to sin, it has a tendency to do like Night of the Living Dead, right? Certain points it kind of raises up and tries to live again in you. So Paul uses this language to show you the finality of what that means. You died to sin. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were also baptized into his death? The death of Christ means so much to us because that death helped to save our lives. Paul uses this imagery in Romans chapter 6 and even in Romans chapter 7. When we were bound to sin, the only way to get out of it was somebody had to die. Because the wages of sin is death. So in order for you to live, although you sinned, then you would have to die. But if you died, you wouldn't live. So somebody had to die so that you could keep on living. That's what Jesus did. Praise God for his death. But then Paul says, when we were baptized into Christ, we were also baptized into his death. What did his death do? His death took everything that was trying to kill you and took it to the grave. Everything that was trying to defeat you, his death takes to the grave. Jesus says, if you want to kill them, come kill me. And that's what they did, but that allows you to live. Every addiction, Jesus says, I take it into death. Every problem, I take it into death. It will die with me. But then 3 days later, you know what happened, right? Up from the grave, he arose. He comes back alive. And so Paul says, if we died to sin, we died to it. And the visage of that, what that looks like, is our baptism. Have y'all noticed that baptism, on a real sense, looks like a funeral? I mean, think about it. Your loved ones are there. You have this body that goes down into, right? It's like a funeral. And spiritually and biblically, that's what's happening. You are dying. And it's not a death that is just by happenstance, right? And every time I use this language, you know, I talk about Jesus dying, please understand he didn't die by natural causes. Right? This was intentional. He says, you couldn't kill me. I have to lay my life down. So when we die to sin, we don't slip up and die to sin. No, it's intentional, right? Not like that one kid that was at our church one time that fell into the baptismal pool. Like, he slipped up and, you know, you get to looking a little bit too much and then it's like kaloosh, right? But it's intentional. So Paul is saying when we were baptized, that's intentional. When we were baptized, we died the same death. But if we die with Christ, as Paul will let us know, watch this. Verse number 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Here it is. For if we have been united with him in a death like this. Paul says, if that's the case, if that's what you did, if you decided to unite yourself in Christ by dying to the old you, then all of those conditions apply. But if not, then we've got a problem. If we did, we'll be also united with him in a similar resurrection. Because we know something. I love how being in Christ gives us the benefit of knowing some things. See, I know, just like you know today, I know that what the enemy is doing is fake and phony. Do y'all know how fake Satan is? I'm gonna tell you how fake Satan is. Satan is so fake, he's trying to hold us up with a water gun. And he don't even have any water in it. But when he puts that to us in life sometimes, we become threatened. But the threat is removed because we know some things, right? Just like you today. If somebody walked in here blindfolded, they would have heard a thunderstorm. I heard one. I almost pulled out the umbrella like it was raining in here. But guess what I knew? I knew two things. One, I knew this was a fake storm. But number two, I know something about storms. They always pass. It can't rain forever. I know this. So in the same way, when I recognize that temptation is rising up in me, I know some things. I know that one day, way back in April of 19, please don't laugh at how old I am, but I remember I was baptized. I remember because I was there. I remember because I witnessed my own funeral. I went down into death and I told God and the rest of the world, I'm dying. But then something else happened. Praise God, something else happened for you too. Something else happened. Now, one of these days down the line, you're going to get married and praise God, he'll bless you with a child. But just before the child is ready to enter in this world, something happens in the mother's body. Her water breaks. That's an indication baby's on the way. Well, what happened to me and what happened to you is that the water broke. and out comes a new life. I'm walking in the newness of life. Everything is brand new. And I, in that moment, get to see the old me. I get to see what I used to be. And like with those whom we love that have passed on, I can go to the grave site. I remember the day. I remember the moment. I remember who I was. I'll tell you about was. See, when you come in Christ, you get something brand new. You get a was testimony. Check this out. I was walking through scripture and I found a lady who had an issue of blood. She said, I was bleeding. I found a man with a weird name. His name was Bartimaeus. He said, I was blind. I found another person who was just rubbing their stomach. I said, what's up with you? He said, I was hungry. Matter of fact, I found a guy named Lazarus. Lazarus said, I was dead. See, I get a was testimony. And people say, well, I remember when you used to, and you said, that's who I was. Yeah, it's not good grammar, but it's good theology, right? I was that. And that's what you get in Christ. And Paul uses this language to show you who you are. Oh, I love it. Y'all gonna catch it. Let me give you some other imagery that helps us to illustrate this. Please don't make fun of me, but when I was about 6 or 7, I used to be terrified of caterpillars. And I lived in the South, and caterpillars are all over the place in March. And so it was just a horror story for me to go to school because they're all over the place. And also, I'll tell you this too, we used to fish a lot, and my grandmother, she would be with me, she'd say, Anthony, you're good, the caterpillar's way over there. And I'm like, okay, as long as I can see they're way over there, I'm good. And one time I was fishing, true story, y'all, one time I was fishing, and I'm looking at my float out there, and I can't wait to get this fish, and one falls right under my, yeah, it's called speaking in tongues. It's called having the Holy Ghost. But God shows us something through a caterpillar that helps us to understand what Paul is trying to illustrate here about death and life. Because caterpillars, they operate, they walk and crawl on the ground in this weird way. They're ugly looking creatures, right? They eat leaves, and it's just, they're just kind of weird dynamic. They don't really have a lot of protection. It's all crazy. But then they go into this cocoon. And for a couple of weeks, they are changing and rearranging and developing. But what comes out of the cocoon is not what went into the cocoon. What comes out is a new creature. One came in crawling, but the butterfly comes out flying. One comes out seeing the world from a ground level, but the butterfly comes out seeing the world from a flight level. And then here's the crazy thing that happens with butterflies and caterpillars. At no point in the butterfly's life can the butterfly say, I want to go back to being a caterpillar. It's done, right? The butterfly will eventually be able to fly away from where he was and come back to say, that's who I was. But now, praise God, I'm a new creature. What does that mean for you and I? It means the very same thing, but it's all predicated on one word, if. If you died, then we don't go back that way anymore. If you died, then none of that stuff lives again in you. If you died, you can declare, not with a braggadocious spirit, not with, hey, I'm better than anybody's spirit, but you can declare humbly, that's not who I am anymore. Now, I like that we can declare that, but that doesn't mean that Satan's going to leave you alone. He's a crazy guy, man. He's an evil guy. He reminds me of my cable company a few years ago. They're evil too, but that's another sermon. But I moved from my apartment into our first home. And about 3 months into living in our first home, and I get my bill, it's showing a charge at this address, but it's also showing a charge at my old address. And I'm getting a little upset, and so I call and cancel. And do you know the next month they did it again? Oh, I'm really mad now. I called in the name of Jesus, and I... But I was hot. And what I was saying to them helped to be a part of this message right here. I said to them, listen, these are unauthorized charges. I don't live there anymore. Won't it preach, y'all? That'll preach right there. I'm talking on the phone, arguing with them, and writing down sermon notes at the same time. Like, that'll preach. I don't live there anymore. And then I said it again. These are unauthorized charges. And I started to look at how Satan sometimes does that. He sends people in our lives to remind us of who we used to be. And you get to tell them, in the name of Jesus, those charges that you are laying on me are unauthorized charges. I don't live there anymore. As a matter of fact, that person that you're trying to charge is dead. I'm not even that guy. I'm a new creature. That's who I was. But by the power of God, this is who I am today. And so Paul says, because of this, and I told you, we know some things. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. The body that was ruled by sin may be done away with. Because Satan used to run our lives, because sin used to run our lives, whenever Satan called, we answered. But now, because that's not who we are anymore. Now, because that person has died, when Satan calls, we no longer have to answer. We can just block the number. But just like these spam artists out there, they'll call from a different number. What do you mean they'll call? What do you mean Satan will call from a different number? What I mean is that Satan is so relentless, he will jump into some folk who are close to you now, when you abandon the old crew. And you'll get to saying, wait a minute, why would this person do me like that? That's what they used to do. And whenever you come across that, it reminds you, oh, this is Satan. Can I show y'all a trick on how to recognize Satan? Y'all got time? Let me show you a trick on how you can recognize Satan. He only has a simple bag of tricks. I mean, I think it's like 3 or 4 tricks he has. And every time it makes you spot him. If you go all the way back to the beginning, when he first tried out his bag of tricks, he shows Eve this fruit that's forbidden. And he makes some promises that he can't follow up through. Let me show you the pattern. Number one, he takes what is natural and makes it sinful. See, if we take what God has already ordained, but we take it out of its context, it's now sinful. So he takes something that's natural, eating, and he makes it sinful. He does it with Eve, but then 1,000 years later, he does it with Jesus. He says, take these stones and turn it into bread. What? Same trick. I've seen this play before. What does he do with Eve? He says, has God not said? He takes God's word and ties a knot in it. What does he do with Jesus? Satan tries to quote scripture to scripture. How you do that? Where do you do that at? Again, you twist up God's word. That's trick number two. And then trick number three, he basically promises Eve something that he cannot give her. Oh, you won't die. What does he try to do with Jesus? He says, you see all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you. How can you promise me what I already have? And so when we recognize those same three tricks, no matter where they show up, we know the origin. Last little trick I'll show you. This is a bonus trick that he does sometimes too. He says these things if sometimes. And I said, wait a minute, what happened? When Jesus was in the garden, he says, if you're the Son of God. Oh, I see it. When Jesus was on the cross, he says, if you are the Son of God. What? What does that tell me? Satan may look different, but he always sounds the same. So even when there are people within your new circle that may sound like that, I can say, oh, I know what, I've seen this before. I see what you're doing, Satan. So sometimes Satan tries to do that to us, but we remind him of what we know. What do we know? That self is my old self. And that old self died. But now, because of that death, watch this. He says, we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. When you die, you don't have to follow the old path anymore. I love God because God gives us new math. And I'm not talking about this new stuff that they're learning in your generation where it takes you 5 sheets of paper to do an addition problem. Not that new math. No, no, no. And I pray for my kids. I got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. I've already told my wife, I'm not helping them with their homework, their math homework, because I don't understand the new math. I'm carry the one kind of deal. But anyway, I'm getting off. But with new math, this is what takes place. The world tells you, YOLO, you only live once. That's a lie. You live every day. But in God's math, you die once, but you live again. If you only die one time, then check this out. If you live and you die as the world would have it and never come to Christ, you'll die again. But if you live and you die to Christ, you'll live again. And I surely love this new life. This new life is an abundant life. This new life carries with it blessings and honor, and it carries with me two different people. David says, surely goodness and mercy follow me wherever I go. I got goodness and mercy with me all the time. Praise God for that. When I'm in Christ, I'm landing the plane. When I'm in Christ, the Bible describes the church in this Greek term called ekklesia. Ekklesia is what we commonly would just say as the church, but really it's two different words put together, ek and klesia. And what do those two things mean? One, ek means I've been called out of something, but klesia means I've been called into something else. When you die to Christ, you've been called out of the world, but you've been called into the kingdom. When you're in Christ, you're called out of darkness, but you're called into the marvelous light. When you're in Christ, you're called out of unbelief, but you're called into faith. You're called out of confusion. You're called into wisdom. You're called out of hate. You're called into love. You're called out of addiction. You're called into freedom. You're called out of arrogance. You're called into humility. You're called out of the world system, but you're called into the Lord's kingdom. Praise God for this new life in Christ. And I want you to have all the benefits. I want you to enjoy everything that comes with the kingdom. I want you to enjoy the forgiveness of sin. I want you to enjoy access to the Father. I want you to enjoy the power of God that resides in you. But you only receive that if we die to Him. See, dying to him is not just a one-time occurrence. It becomes our daily identity. And every time someone tries to bring it up, you must intentionally say, oh, I died to that. No, I'm good. Oh, no, I died to that. We had a funeral for that. I remember when. No, that's not who I am. That's who I was. I used to, but that's not me anymore because I died with him. And death is a very real thing. It's one of those things that will happen on its own naturally, but spiritually, we must intentionally die. If you haven't died to him, today and right now is the best opportunity to do so. I always tell audiences that I speak with, especially in contexts like this, right now is the one time that you and God's calendar line up. See, God lives in all times. He's past, present, future. That's why the scripture always calls him is. He's always present, right? But we only have a right now. We don't have yesterday or tomorrow. But right now, you and God's calendar line up. And right now is the best time to die to Christ. To those that have died, right now is a moment to remember the death. But it's also a moment to celebrate the resurrection. Whenever the old life passes you by, remember that butterflies can't go back to being caterpillars. And like that, you can't go back to what you used to be. Fly today in Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the death of Christ. The death of Christ was brutal, was murder, was torture, but the resurrection was beautiful, graceful, immaculate. Father, help us to understand that what we have died to by your power, we can say that's what we was. That's bad grammar, but that's good theology. Help us to remember the moment because it shows the pivotal point in our life where things change. They changed because we decided to accept Jesus. There may be someone today who is here because they're still kind of wrestling between what they want to do but what they know you desire that they need. It's my prayer that they come to you before our time is done. Father, we're thankful for this word if, because if sets the condition. Someone right now may be in a life that's going down and everything will continue that way. But if something changes, they can have a new life in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died like every other spiritual leader time has shown us do. Confucius died. Muhammad died. Jesus died. But only one of them rose again. That lets me know that he is the one true Messiah. Help us to walk and follow in his ways. Be with those today as we continue out the furtherance of the day. Help our minds to be focused on that death that we had in Christ, but in the life that we live in him. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all who believe said, amen.